Hi, everyone. Today we'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11 through 21. I have been a fool. You forced me to it, for I ought to have been commended by you. For I was not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works. For in what were you less favored than the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not burden you? Forgive me this wrong. Here for the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden, for I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? But granting that I myself did not burden you, I was crafty, you say, and got the better of you by deceit. Did I take advantage of you through any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus to go and sent the brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not act in the same spirit? Did we not take the same steps? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? It is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality that they have practiced. So if you didn't realize, this is the second to last devotion that we'll be doing in 2 Corinthians. And at the beginning of 2 Corinthians, we highlighted these themes and we've repeated them over and over again in our devos. But the big themes were, first is relationship. This is a very relational book, right? It's not a book of theology per se. Of course, there's tons of theology that come out of it, but it's a heart. It's like Paul's heart for this church. It's his relationship with them that is really highlighted throughout this book. Second is authority or defensive leadership. This is something Paul, in a sense, was forced to do because of the super apostles that he mentions even in this passage. He's like proving and showing that he has authority over this church, which is, of course, related to that relationship he has with them, the first point. And third is power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus. And that's especially in light of suffering and persecution, what Paul and his companions had gone through a lot of. So again, relationship, authority, and power. Now, all three of these themes are evident in this passage as Paul begins to wrap up this letter to Corinth. So the first, I'm going to go through each one. The first I want to highlight is relationship. In this passage, if as you read it, that's like the first thing I feel like that should just stand out to us, that this is just like a personal letter that he's writing to them. This is not written to us. It's for us from God, of course. But when Paul wrote it, it's for this church. And his heart for this church is so apparent. One, his tone here, there's a bit of like frustration and anger. But there's also like this heart, right, that's gushing in this passage. He calls them beloved. He says that I didn't want to be a burden to you, and I don't seek what is yours, but I seek you. That's like almost romantic kind of language. He doesn't want to take advantage of them. He doesn't want what they have. He doesn't want their money. He just wants them. And his heart is one of like a father. Right? And that's what he says here. Like, children are not obligated to save it for their parents. Parents for their children. Right? He's in a sense saying, I'm like a father to you. I want to bless you. And so that's why even when he talks about like sin, which is mentioned and listed in this passage, right, where he fears there's quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, disorder, sexual immorality, sensuality, impurity. When he names those things, it's not like this, it's not coming out of this duty of leadership. Right? He's not calling these things out because it's like justice, right? He's supposed to do it, which he is supposed to do it, but he's calling them out because he loves them. He cares for them. He wants this relationship with them. He has this relationship with them. So that stands out here. The second is authority, right? And a defense of this leadership. And verse 19, Paul says it like fairly directly here. Like, do you think we've been defending ourselves to you? It's kind of a tricky question because he kind of has been throughout this book, but not fully, right? But not fully like that. This whole time, Paul was declaring his leadership and his authority over this church. But what he's saying is, in verse 19, that it is in the sight of God we have been speaking in Christ. It's in the sight of God. And it's based his authority is based in the sight of God, speaking in and through Christ. It's all based on who Jesus is in him. It's all based on that he belongs to Christ. And so that's what he's kind of pointing out here again. Like, I have authority because I belong to Jesus, and like Jesus has put you into my care. The last theme again was the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus. And I say this because I just want, it's related to the defense of the leadership point, is that I want to make note of verse 12 where he says, the signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works. He's kind of showing us this, what like a true apostle, a true leader over the churches. First, he mentions utmost patience. Another word for that is love, right? You're patient with someone that you love. You're willing to put up with a lot of stuff with someone that you love. Now, going back to the first point, but related to the power, he says signs and wonders and mighty works. Paul, he's proving his leadership because they saw the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit in him and in his life and through him. Now, they also saw it as well. He doesn't talk about it here, but they see that as well in the power of Jesus in him through his suffering, through the thorn in his flesh even. Like, they can see the power of the Holy Spirit within him. Now, again, this passage is a very personal one. It's very directly for the church there. So how do we understand it? I think it's really how we understand the whole book of 2 Corinthians. I think we can understand that the ultimate example here of all three of those points that I bring up, relationship, authority, and power, the ultimate example of that kind of leader is Jesus. We'll go through it again. Jesus desires relationship with us. Jesus wants relationship with us. And just think about what Paul says in this passage. He calls them beloved. He loves them. He's like a father to them. The ultimate example is Jesus. Jesus is gentle with us. Jesus loves us. Jesus doesn't want to take advantage of us. He doesn't want to use us or abuse us. He doesn't demand us that we do something for that relationship. He wants relationship, right? Remember again what he says, what Paul says here. Like, I seek not what is yours, but you. Jesus doesn't want what we have. I mean, in fact, he frankly doesn't need it, but he desires us. He wants relationship with us, and he showed that upon the cross. Second, authority. Jesus is the ultimate authority. It's in the sight of God, right? He has that authority of us. And as Paul says, in the sight of God, like we don't need to defend ourselves. Jesus, in the sight of God, he earned his authority over us by going to the cross. The ultimate obedience to God. And it says this, that because he did this, right, God made him the king above all kings, right? Jesus earned, if you will, that authority over us. And finally, power. Jesus has power, right? Signs and wonders that we read about in the Gospels. And he's continuing to work now in the church, in our lives. And as a reminder, he has utmost patience and care for us as well. What 2 Corinthians points us to is Jesus and the leadership that Jesus has over us. But also, though, as we understand these qualities, these themes, we ourselves should desire to be led by pastors and leaders that have these qualities. And we ourselves should strive to show these qualities to others. Right? We have authority. We have power. And we should be in relationship with people in this world, not to seek what is theirs, but to seek them, to love them and bless them, to look beyond sin, look beyond the struggles or skin color or whatever. But we need to see that, like, the precious image of God in every person that we encounter. And we need to pray that God can use us in power with his authority and with his relationship, his love, that we can be a blessing to those around us. Let's pray for that this day. Let me pray for us. Lord, we're reminded by your power, your authority, and your love for us. And as we remember that, we pray that we will follow you, Jesus, that we will know that you have given us everything. And as we have been given everything, we pray that we will follow you, Jesus, that we will love you, and that we will in turn love our neighbors, that we will show the world your power, your authority, and your love. Use us, God, for your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.